one another. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to one another, to walk humbly with God. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. You may look at the gospel reading in the back of our bulletins, and the last line, the last verse, I came that they may have life and have it how? Abundantly. I came, Jesus said, I came that you and I might have life and might have it abundantly. As Christians, we have something some people don't have. It's what Jesus calls the abundant life, or life abundant, right? Those who don't have it maybe think they've got it, not knowing that they haven't got it. For what some consider an abundant life is not the same abundant life that Jesus is talking about. In our setting, Petersburg, where abundance is more prevalent than scarcity, it's a real challenge to convey the difference between these two kinds of abundant lives, when in some ways they look so much alike, but in reality are so unalike. As Christians, our abundant life is focused upon our relationship with our Creator. This relationship is established not by anything we do, but by God's Holy Spirit implanted in us in our baptism, ultimately resulting in the gift of faith. That becomes a pathway leading to God's gift of grace. All of which is what Jesus calls the abundant life, or what we could call Christianity 101. I believe that what we have as Christians, described as the abundant life, God's gift of faith, God's gift of grace, makes us Christians the happiest, the luckiest, the most joyful, the most contented, literally the wealthiest people in the world. There's none richer. As Christians, what we have is clearly something very, very special. I don't usually get turned on at the thought of going to another synod assembly. There was perhaps a time in my younger years when they sparked greater interest in me, but these latter years, to be nakedly honest, I like to go mainly because it gives me a break from you. Yet, even more importantly, it gives you what? A break from me. So I went to Juno, not really expecting much, going out of obedience to the rules of the synod and the bishop. I went probably most of all because I was trying to connect with some old pastor friends. You see, without even trying, I've become the old guy on the block. I was hoping to see Dwayne. He retired pastor from Wasilla. He didn't come. He didn't show. I was hoping to see Brian. He's been out in the Seward Peninsula at Wells or at Brevik or Teller. I can't remember which place. He didn't show. So they couldn't reminisce about the 70s with them. But Martin did from Eagle River. Dan did, and Karen did. Karen's up in Nome now. And Larry retired in Juneau and stayed with them. So we did have some talk about the old days. And then there was a surprise I hadn't counted on. But I knew that's where she lived, and so I checked the phone book, and sure enough, I dialed Elfrida. I had been her pastor in 1970 and 1971 in Vancouver, Washington. Now, how many years ago was that? A lot. If you want to figure it out, it's 47 years ago I was Elfrida's pastor. We had a thing going between us back then, a little contest, a little bet. Because we both had a yen for Alaska as to whom could get there first. I lost. In 1972, her wish came true, becoming the home health nurse in, of all places, Bethel. Not exactly the Garden of Eden. My dream became a reality 2 years later. But by then, Elfrida had had enough of Bethel, and she had somehow found a state job being a supervisor over home health nurses and had moved to Anchorage, where we once again joined up, and I became her pastor. Again, I hadn't seen this woman for 47 years. Until a week ago, when I reunited with this sprightly, spirited, singing, 83-year-old beauty. Now, equally dividing her time between Juneau and one other place. Where? You know that, don't you? You worked for her. Wonderful. Yeah, she didn't spend half of her time back in Bethel. She inherited her mother's and father's farm north of the Arctic Circle in Norway and spends half of her time there. A Norwegian farmer, half of the year. Jesus said, I came so that you may have what? Life. And what kind of life? An abundant life. Talk about a woman who is a personification of the abundant life. Elfrida Nord is her name. But last weekend, not just Elfrida. I wasn't expecting. I should have known better, but I guess I'd forgotten. I hadn't expected the spirit of all these people who gathered in Juneau from all over the state, from Ketchikan on the south to Nome up on the northwest corner, from Fairbanks in the hinterlands to the Kenai Peninsula, from Delta Junction to Valdez to Petersburg. A gathering of beautiful Christians who have Jesus living in their hearts, who know what it's all about when Jesus said, "I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly." Spirited, sprightly, singing Alaska, truly abundant life people whose focus is upon our relationship with God. "I came," Jesus said, "so that you might have life and so that you might really know what it is to be a child of God. I've come so that you can live in the freedom of God's grace as God's child and to live abundantly." Those people, the pastors I mentioned, Elfrida and 100 more of them, knew and know what it is to have Jesus living in their hearts. You just almost had to be there to experience it. It was wonderful. I went to get away, not expecting all that much, but I got so much more than I ever expected. I needed the reminder, an infusion, if you will, that we have something, terribly big that sadly some people just don't have and don't understand even what we have. Because if they understood what we'd have, they would grab it. The abundant life. God's gift of faith. God's unmerited grace. Forgiveness. We are the wealthiest people in the world. A second reminder that I sometimes forget or overlook, that it's our job not just to keep that inside of us, but to share it. I told the 11 people at our worship service up at the manor Thursday, I said, "You know, all of you are missionaries. Your mission field isn't downtown Petersburg. Your mission field is the manor. Because you have something that some people in this place don't have. And you are called to share the story of Jesus. The story of the faith that God has given you. And the story of God's unmerited grace." And if I told them that, then I better tell you the same thing. That we all have a calling. That we all are missionaries to help others receive what we have and what we hold dear. The love of Jesus in our hearts. Our work is cut out for us. The mission field is all around us. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Our work is never over. Heavenly Father, embolden us and encourage us and support us and lead us as each one of us in our own ways lives the abundant life given to us and shares the abundant life with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to play We Are Called, verse 3, once again. 720. And let's stand. We are called to act with justice. Let's stand. Sing a new song. Sing a new song. Sing of that great day when all will be one. God will reign. We'll walk with each other as sisters and brothers, united in love. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God.